This call is being recorded.
Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Is anybody else on the line that'd like to say good morning?
Good morning.
Yo, 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 yo. What's up?
Good morning. I heard Brother E. I heard Sister Susie. And one more.
Deborah Evans. Yes.
Deborah Evans. Good morning.
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Moni.
Good morning, Moni. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good. Thanks for joining us this morning.
I was going to text you, Moni.
Good morning. Okay. Okay, sis. Good morning. Hi, I'm Diane. I'm calling for prayer.
Good morning, Sister Diane. What can we pray for you this morning about?
I just want to just pray about strength, and I'm blind, and I'm blind in one eye, and I would just like to just pray to just, I mean, to see better in my other eye.
Okay, we'll definitely mention that during prayer, so we can be lifting you up when it's time for prayer during the call.
Okay, when do I put it on mute?
You can put it on mute now.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, family. This is Pam.
Good morning, Sister Pam.
Good morning, Sister Tracy. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Sister Tracy. Happy Monday.
happy Monday.
Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Is anybody else on the line that'd like to say good morning?
Good morning, it's Diane.
Good morning, Sister Diane.
Good morning, Leticia. Happy Monday.
Good morning, it's Pretty Patrice. Good morning, family.
Good morning, Pretty Patrice. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Good morning, D-E-Blanca.
Who that was? I didn't quite hear who that was. The phone was going in and out.
Yvonne.
Oh, it's Yvonne. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Carmen. Happy Monday.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Can anybody else join the line that'd like to say good morning?
Good morning, Leticia. It's David. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Good, good. Thank you.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Who might that be?
This is Sister Veronica.
Good morning, Sister Veronica. Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday, people out here. I'm your greeter this morning. Anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning. Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning. For those who've already said good morning, if you could please press your standard mute button, it'd be greatly appreciated. Preserves the integrity of the call as it is being recorded. I'm going to go ahead and get started with the business of today. Happy Monday again. Welcome. I'm Leticia from Arizona, and I'm your hostess this morning. Welcome to Declaring Victory. We're a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific time. We're here to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. The theme for December is focus. Prepare to focus on the things of the Lord in a whole new way. As followers of Christ, we have to focus on what matters and remove all other distractions. Be sure to tune in daily. You don't want to miss the teachings, the stories, and the lessons that the declarers are preparing as they hear from God for his people. We have no announcements today. We do have two prayer requests. One is from Tarina. We're going to send up prayers for her son, Timothy. He has a court hearing this morning. We'd like to pray God has his way with the judge, so his case will be dismissed. The second prayer is from Sister Diana. She's blind in one eye. She'd like to pray that she will restore her vision. The order of the call today is the declaration will be done by Sister Pamela. Then we'll go right into closing comments hosted by the Claire, Sister Pamela. Again, at this time, if you would, please check and triple check your phone to make sure your standard mute button is on, as we can preserve the integrity of the call as it is being recorded. Thank you again for joining us here on the Claire Victory. I now pass the call.
Letitia, could you please repeat the order? I think you kind of went out. We didn't hear you.
Oh, apologize. Hold on just a second.
If you're talking, we can't hear you.
Hold on, folks. Let me get her.
I'm pretty sure it's Pamela Jordan sharing the declaration that I am to pray thereafter. This is Dion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Yes, I want to just remind everyone quickly to make sure that your phones are on mute. Please make sure that your phones are on mute. I want to thank Letitia for hosting and greeting this morning. It's always just a blessing to hear her voice, you know, this on a Monday morning. And I would love to thank Sister Dion for leading us to the throne of grace and prayer. This morning, as Letitia had stated, the topic for the whole month has been on focus. And this morning, I was really led to deal with keeping our focus on God, and more directly how to avoid distractions. Like what distractions come in our life and how to become aware of what those distractions are. Hold on one second, let me get some water. I'd like to first kind of open us up in prayer. Father God, I come to you now, God, just thanking you for this opportunity to share, God. I pray, Lord, that you would remove me now, God. God, that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, God. And I pray, Lord, that those who are hearing it, God, that it would not land on deaf ears, God, but that they would not be just hearers of your word, God, but doers of your word, God, and that they be encouraged, God, to live a life, God, focused on you. God, we just praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. This morning, as I stated, our topic will be focused on keeping our focus on God, And I'm going to be coming from several different scriptures. But the main one will be Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I know last week, I believe Geraldine used chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, and so I really want to focus on the earlier voice verses leading up to that. So Philippians 3:10 through 14 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brother, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is commendable, whatsoever is excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Focus on these things. Once again, the topic is keeping our focus on God. In spite of all the enemies that have so many efforts, make all kinds of efforts to distract us, I want to ask the question, are we keeping our focus on God? The Bible tells us that, the enemy is constantly actively trying to stop us, trying to block us from succeeding and accomplishing what God wants us to do. But we need to make sure that we keep our focus on God, just like David. I know many of you know the story how Saul, who was the king of Israel, was pursuing David, who had been anointed to be the king since childhood. But King Saul wanted David dead. And so David had to flee. He ran and he lived in caves. He was running from place to place, not really knowing if he would wake up and Saul would be standing over him to kill him, or which day would be the final day that he would be dead at the hand of Saul. But it just wasn't Saul. It was his entire army. I don't know about you, but can you imagine what that must have felt like? Living each day because someone's trying to kill you. And yet Saul had this huge army. And like I said, David had an army there to protect him. He had these men, but still, he knew that against Saul's army, they really weren't a match. And in fact, David's own men, some of them were telling him and begging him to just surrender to Saul. They were hiding in caves. But interesting enough, David wasn't worried a bit. In fact, he says in Psalm 119, verse 94 through 97, he says, I am yours, rescue me, for I have worked hard in obeying your commands. Though the wicked hide along the way to ambush and kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your laws. Even perfection has its limits, but your commands has no limits. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. And so here we see in verse 95, David is saying that when the wicked people were trying to ambush and kill David, he says that he quietly kept his mind on God's word, on God's decree. He was basically saying, I focused on the word of God. Now, if someone was trying to kill you, somebody was pursuing you, desperately suing you to kill you, to take your life, would you be able to keep your mind on God? I don't think so. I think we'd be calling the police. We'd be locking doors and windows and setting alarms and, you know, trying to surround everybody around us. But David said, I don't care what you do to me. I don't care if people are trying to kill me. But I have one thing that I do. I keep my mind on the word of God. I keep my focus on God's truth. Basically, what David was doing was managing his mind. He was keeping his mind focused on God. Sometimes, you might have to tell your mind about God's truth. Sometimes you have to just speak to yourself and speak to your mind and tell yourself that God's faithful, God's mighty, God's our protector, God's our provider. God is in control. He's our salvation. He's our all in all. It helps us stay focused when we remind ourselves who God is. The reality is that we live in this world full of distraction. And the enemy is consistently trying to keep our thoughts off of God. We need to free our minds from these destructive thoughts of the enemy. We need to free our minds from negative things, because our minds need to be delivered. Our minds need to be released. Our minds need to be completely free from bondage of Satan. But our mind is continually keeping us hostage from the past, constantly keeping us hostage from lies that we have been told ever since we were children. And ultimately, it affects our entire lives. You might have been told that you would never amount to anything. You may have been told that you would never make it, that you would never succeed. And if you allow your mind to take those lies and that message as truth, then that's what you'll eventually be. You'll eventually be someone who will not amount to anything at all, because you'll begin to see yourself as someone who can't achieve anything because you're believing what the enemy has placed in your mind. You'll begin to see your life as what the enemy is seeing. You begin to believe what you put your mind to believe because you're focusing on things that are not truth about you. And when you begin to focus on things that are lies about you, then that will begin to be your reality. You'll begin to amount to nothing at all. You'll begin to make decisions with the mindset of someone who's not going to succeed. You'll begin to have a mindset of someone who won't amount to anything. You'll begin to have a mindset that you'll be nothing. And what you do is you find yourself being stuck. You'll become stuck because you can't get beyond what your focus and your mind is telling you, because you've allowed the enemy to plant seeds. I remember my son, when he was a child, he went to my parents' house, and he used to go out there every weekend or so to the ranch, and he would help my dad, you know, water the animals and feed the cows or the horses. And I remember one particular weekend that he was out there visiting them. My dad, his grandfather, told him that he was stupid as a goat. And I remember my son calling me, telling me, "Mom, can you come pick me up immediately? I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want to ever come out to the ranch again because Grandpa called me stupid as a goat." And I kept saying, "David, you know you're not stupid as a goat. You know your grandpa didn't really mean that." But David was like, "No, he said it. And I don't want him to, I don't want to ever come out here again. I'm not going to ever come out and help him again." Now, we need to be like David was. We need to refuse to believe what someone tells us. If we know that this is not true about us, and certainly my dad didn't intend that he was stupid as a goat. He was just frustrated with something David did. And so he began to say, you know, say that he was stupid as a goat, thinking it would wake him up and thinking it would make him begin to, you know, take care of the animals like he was told to. But what it did was it made David angry and it made him upset. And he refused to believe those lies. He refused to believe what was told to him. Like David, we need to free our minds from those destructive thoughts of the enemy, the destructive thoughts of maybe a childhood school teacher, the destructive thoughts of a parent or someone who told you that you would amount to nothing or you would be nothing or you were stupid as a goat. Because the enemy will try to destroy us and take us down and stop us from reaching the goal that God has for us. He will stop us from focusing on the future. He will stop us and try to keep us from having our mind on God. He will put these negative thoughts in our mind and cause us to constantly focus on these things. How many of us on the call can reflect on somebody who said something horrible to them? I remember my high school teacher told me that I would never make it into college. I would never be able to achieve anything. But now I not only have a college degree, but I have two masters and, you know, completed my studies with a PhD. And, you know, it's like I did not allow that to stop me. We can't allow the enemy to stop us from doing the things that we know that God has spoken to our hearts to do or that God has promised us to do, that we would be able to accomplish. We need to free our minds from those negative thoughts. We need to go into spiritual warfare to rid ourselves from those past thoughts and be like King David. In spite of our enemies, keep our mind focused on God's word. You might be asking yourself, what are these enemies that we need to battle? What are these enemies that are blocking us and stopping us from moving forward? What are these enemies that are keeping us from focusing on God? Number one, it's our own nature, our old nature. Romans 8, Paul talks about how he had been in bondage. He talks about how he sees his body as a principle warring
that battle of the brain and how he sees his body warring against the laws of his mind, taking captive the laws of sin and dwelling that dwell inside of him. In Romans 7:23, this is the Living Translation, it says, "But there is another power within me that is at war within my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me." Let me put it this way. Do you ever find yourself doing things that you don't want to do, that you never intended to do? Can someone please mute their call? Have you ever found yourself operating in this self-defeating behavior? Have you ever said these words? "I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I know this isn't good for me, but." You see, what's happening is there's this battle that's going on in our mind. And even though we have all the best intentions to do what's right, the battle in our mind is keeping us from doing what's right. It's battling against our old nature. And that old nature is the source of all our bad habits. In Romans 8:5-8, it says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are in control by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit." Notice, it's all about your mind and how you think and what your focus is on. You think you might have this great intention to change something in your mind, but then it's like your old nature will begin to battle you on it. How many of us have had good intentions to pray, and before you know it, your mind has put thoughts in your mind and you're thinking about something completely different than praying? The second thing that we need to battle Satan against is we need to battle against Satan, because Satan wants to control our mind too, just as the past wants to, just as negative thoughts want to, just as our old nature wants to. But we have to remember that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But the problem that comes about is that even though Satan cannot destroy a child of God, what he does do is he tries to make suggestions. He tries to plant negative seeds in our mind. Like I said, I use that example of, you know, when you're praying. I know it's happened to me many a times, you know, where you're praying and before you know it, you're thinking about something that's so obscure, that something that has nothing to do with prayer or God. But Satan begins to plant seeds. He begins to try to distract us. He begins to make us think things are going on that aren't. In fact, the majority of the things that Satan tries to plant in our minds aren't even true. Just like the majority of the stuff people tell us about ourselves aren't true. And that's why, as believers, we need to study the word for ourselves. We need to know what's being said and that it's truly the unadulterated truth, that it's truly the word of God that's being spoken into our spirit, into our lives. We need to make sure that Satan is not planting seeds of doubt, seeds of negativity, seeds of that we are unable to accomplish what God has spoken to us. We shouldn't believe everything that we hear. We shouldn't believe everything that we think. We shouldn't believe everything that we see. We shouldn't believe everything that we even think about ourselves based on past things that have been spoken into our lives. Just because someone said that it's true doesn't make it true. Because it's Satan's job to try to put seeds of doubt in our mind from the moment that we wake up. The moment we wake up, Satan begins to put seeds of doubt in our mind, telling us we're not going to have a good day. You know your boss don't like you. You know you shouldn't be wearing that because it doesn't look good on you. Can someone please mute your phone? Satan tries to tell us, like, if I were like you, I wouldn't even go to work today. You know, he begins to put seeds in our mind to make us question who we are. He'll say things like, I know your boss didn't respect you like that, disrespect you like that. Or he'll say, you shouldn't go to school today because the teachers aren't going to accept your work. Your teachers aren't going to like you. Your teachers aren't going to respect you. And before you know it, those thoughts and those seeds are getting into your mind. And you begin to say, why bother? You begin to have this defeatist attitude. That's what caused many of us to become depressed, is because we dwell and focus on the negativity that the enemy tells us about ourselves, when none of it is true. Because God tells us that we are more than conquerors. God tells us that we are the head and not the tail. Someone once said that if you get up in the morning and Satan's hand isn't on you and Satan is not trying to put thoughts in your mind and Satan isn't messing with you, it's because you're already his. Like, his job is to try to put thoughts and to cause you to focus on other things other than God. And he's only going to mess with you if he knows that you are really on track to do what God wants you to do. It's like, even then, that's when he's on his job even more. Yes, when Satan speaks to us, he put thoughts of negativity and doubt and fear. But if it's God speaking to us, it's going to be words of inspiration. It's going to be words that are going to build us up and not tear us down. Yes, there's the enemy of our mind, the enemy of our past nature, our old nature, that is constantly bombarding us. And then we have Satan, who is filling our minds with seeds of doubt. But we need to keep our mind on Christ. That's what the Bible tells us, to focus on him. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So if we're focusing on God, no matter what the enemy is trying to tell us, no matter what he says to us, it won't matter. in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, it says, because we are to adopt the same attitude as Christ Jesus. It's like, because we've adopted the same attitude of Christ Jesus, it's like we need to focus and have those the same attitude of Christ. We need to have the same thoughts of Christ. Because Satan's job is to try to get us to doubt God and deny God. Remember Job and how Satan asked God if he could mess with him, to tempt him. He tried to get Job to deny God by attacking his family, attacking his house, attacking his livestock. He even attacked his own body. He thought he could get Job to walk in sin. He thought he could get Job to turn against God, and he thought he could get Job to even turn against his wife and deny his friends. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, Paul tells us that when you forgive this man, I forgive you too. When you forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us. See, Satan wants to outsmart us. Satan was trying to outsmart Job. But Paul is telling them that we need to make sure that we not let Satan get a foothold, in our life. Remember in the First Corinthians, Paul was basically rebuking them because they were permitting immorality. They were allowing incest to take place within the congregation. And they were kind of closing their eyes to this sin. Yet they were running around talking about how they were speaking in tongues. But Paul told them, you know, you need to get this under control. You need to do something about this enemy, because otherwise he's going to run havoc throughout the whole church. And so the people end up excommunicating the man. But Paul basically told them in 2 Corinthians, like, this man now has repented. This man now has asked for forgiveness. And yes, he came under great conviction, but now he's asked for forgiveness. And what needs to happen now is that you need to get out of your own mind and stop focusing on the past of what he's done. Because the enemy can try to sway us one way. He'll try to make us focus on things that people did to us, or things that people did. Past hurts, past downfalls, past things in our lives that stopped us. But Paul is telling them, don't focus on those things, but focus on the compassion of God. Focus on the forgiveness that this man has asked for. You see, there's two things that we rarely see. You don't see a lot of people forgiving one another. I think that's something that's really pertinent. You know, even in the Bible, it talks about how, you know, before we can even come before the throne of Christ, we've done something to our brothers, we need to immediately go up and forgive. And so this man had asked for forgiveness. And so Paul says that before you can move forward, before you can focus on God, before you can be blessed and receive what God has for you, you need to forgive. So he tells them, you know, put your arms around this man. Forgive them. Show them the love of Christ. And that's what we need to do. If we plan on focusing on God and focusing on his word, we need to block the enemy from our mind, block the enemy from our thoughts, and block the enemy from our hearts, and be willing to forgive while we're trying to stop listening to the lies of the enemies and not allowing him to lie to us. We can't allow him to lie to us about someone else. If someone else has asked for forgiveness, we need to make sure that we are willing to accept that forgiveness. Because the Bible says that if we don't forgive, God will not forgive our sins. It's interesting because as I began to look at things that block us, things that stop us, things that distract us from being focused on God, you know, our old nature, our mind, our Satan, who will try to keep us in bondage. Satan trying to create bitterness in our hearts by keeping us from asking for forgiveness. And when we allow this to happen, we're basically allowing Satan to get a foothold. And before we know it, he's completely full strong in our lives and completely trying to destroy everything that God desires for us. Yes, we need to make sure that we aren't listening to what Satan is telling us. Because just as Paul was saying, you know, we need to know who Satan is, because Satan has tricks. We need to be aware of who he is, not listen to his lies, not allow him to distract us. So the first enemy that I talked about was our old nature. The second enemy that I talked about was Satan himself. And the third enemy that I want to talk about is the world. It's the culture in which we're living in now. These three enemies are constantly blocking our focus on God. It's our flesh, Satan, and our mind, Satan, and the flesh. Satan is constantly trying to stop us, and the world is constantly trying to block us. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to ask ourselves, is there anything in society that encourages self-discipline? There's really not a lot. There's things that are consistently just not telling us just the contrary. Things in this world are telling us that we deserve a break today. The things in this world tell us that we need to have it our way. The things in this world tells us that it's all about us. And one that I just recently saw was that Mountain Dew that says that we need to obey our thirst. So it's like the world is constantly trying to pull us away from God through subliminal messages that we watch on TV, through advertisements, through television, through movies, through things that it's basically telling us that we need to quench our desires, quench our thirst. If you just obey your thirst, if you just obey and yield and allow yourself to be subject to your desires of your flesh, then you can succeed. Then you can have success. Then you can have what you want. Then you can have it all. Yes. These are all promoted by advertisers and movies and television, by the songs that we listen to on the radio, by just the things that happen on Celebrity. And it seems that no one is trying to encourage to live a healthy, focused Christian life. So many of us find ourselves constantly, day in and day out, on social media, on Facebook, on, you know, watching TV, watching movies all day long, every moment that we can. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if the man loves the world, then the love of his Father is not in him. So what keeps us from keeping our focus on God? What keeps us from focusing on God is all of the enemies that we encounter. Like I said, our flesh, which is our passion, the lust of the eyes, possession keeps us from focusing on God, which is money and salaries, and the pride of life, which is like our position, you know, our worldly successes, our titles, our power. Yes, God is calling upon us to focus more on Him and His word, and to not allow these three enemies to distract us, to turn us away from what He's calling us to do. We need to focus on God and be more Christ-like and not allow distractions to keep us. We need to keep our eyes focused on God, keep our eyes focused on His word, and not walk in the flesh, as 2 Corinthians says. But we need to trust God in everything that we do. We need to wage war, spiritual warfare, against the enemy, and keep our mind focused on the things of God. As I pass the call.
Hallelujah. And so, God, we thank you, Lord God, for such a rich word. We thank you for such a targeted word. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this morning detailed instruction. We pray that not only our hearts touched and minds regulated by the word and the truth in love, Lord God, but that you would give us the wherewithal to take the word and to apply it to our hearts this morning. So this morning, we pray, oh God, that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and all that you are and the victory that you won on Calvary's cross. We thank you, Lord God, that we cast every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ to the very pit of hell. We refuse it, we refute it, and we come against it by the blood of Jesus this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that our attention will not be diverted away from the things of eternity and your perfect will and perfect plan for our lives, Lord God. We thank you that the tempter will not only be defeated, but that he will be rejected in our hearts and our minds as we keep our eyes fixed on your plan for our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that as we rise every morning, that our prayer be and our petition be, that we lay our lives before you blamelessly, Lord God, revealing and allowing ourselves not only to be surrendered and submitted to your perfect will and plan for our lives, but that it be our authentic heart's desire that, Lord God, we be used to glorify and to edify the body of Christ. We pray, Lord God, that our desires, our intimate, secret thoughts be fixed on you and your perfect plan for our lives. We pray, oh God, that we would grow in grace and that we would mature in the faith, Lord God, that our hearts and minds would be fixed and focused on your will. We pray, Lord God, that not only will we not get weary, but that because we're fixed and focused on you, Lord God, that our lives will be full of victory and prosperity spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, Lord God. We come against the spirit of lack of focus, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, that you're even redeeming the time as we speak, Lord God. You're redeeming the time, Lord God. You're causing our minds no longer to drift on the things of the world and systems of the world, Lord God, but that we be consumed with your plan for our lives. Lord, this morning we pray that we be focused on being teachable, that we be a perfect student in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray this morning for concentration and consecration simultaneously. Lord God, we pray that we take our lives seriously. Even though we have situations and circumstances, Lord God, that evolve around us, we thank you, Lord God, that we're not confounded, confused, or constructive to build up the world system in our lives, Lord God, but that we think on supernatural things. God, this morning we declare and we decree that we are the righteousness of God. We superimpose your will on our hearts and on our minds, Lord God. We thank you, God, that your words will be our words. We thank you, Lord God, that your heart will be our heart. Open the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our understanding. God, this morning we pray for our children that will go into a world system for study and scholastic achievement, Lord God. And I pray for every school district, for every superintendent, for the teachers, Lord God, and the principals. I pray for the counselors, Lord God, the mentors. I pray for the athletics department. And I pray, Lord God, that our children would be focused on not only paying attention to your plan for their lives, not only paying attention to the academic and scholastic achievement portion, God, but that they would pay attention to their surroundings, that they'd be focused on knowing where they are, who they're subjecting themselves to, Lord God. And I pray supernatural protection in the name of Jesus. God, I pray this morning that we would contend in our faith, Lord God. I pray that we would pray for our churches, pray for our congregants, Lord God. Pray for our pastors, teachers, and leaders, that they would be focused on the agenda of kingdom building, that they would be focused on the agenda of achieving kingdom accolades, Lord God, but that they would not be focused on the accolades of men, that they would not be focused on being celebrated by people, but that at the end of the day, that the kingdom would be built up in an effort to not only tear down strongholds, God, but to manifest your perfect will in love in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that you would keep us strong in our faith, that you would remind us of the power of your might, God, that you would increasingly bring to our remembrance to be in your presence, God, to abide in you, that you would abide in us, Lord God, that your perfect will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we pray this morning for a focus on thy kingdom come and thy will be done. We pray this morning for a focus even in our marriages, Lord God, for those of us that are married, that you call the church the bride, Lord God. And so I pray this morning that husbands love
their wives as Christ loved the church. God, that they'd have a single eye, that their mind would be focused on being a good and solid husband, a protector, a provider, a priest, Lord God, in their home, that they would consistently love on their wives and honor your word for their life with their families. In the name of Jesus, I come against any mindset of separatism and illegal activity, God, that does not edify the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, this morning I pray for single folk, Lord God, that you would give us a mind to honor you with our lives. God, that our hearts and our minds will be fixed on presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. Lord God, I thank you this morning that our minds would be single. God, for you said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I pray this morning that our focus be fixed on living a life that's not only acceptable but exemplar to the edifying of the body of Christ, that somebody might see our life and have a desire to live the way that you called us to live. Lord God, I pray this morning that we be focused on righteousness. I pray this morning, Lord God, that we be focused on humility. I pray this morning that we be focused on honoring you with everything that we are, Lord God. I pray this morning that we live a selfless life. God, give our hearts and our minds a spirit of giving. Lord God, I thank you that we sow good seed and that, Lord God, even then the harvest is plentiful. God, help us to work while it is day, for when the night comes, no man can work. And so this morning, I thank you for a spirit of corporate prayer. I thank you for a spirit of corporate understanding. I thank you for a spirit of corporate praise this morning as we focus on building the kingdom, as we focus on teaching the gospel, as we focus on going into the uttermost parts of the earth, that men, women, boys, and girls alike will know that you are the true and risen Savior, that there's none like you, there's none above you, and there will be none after you. And so, God, as we take our phones off mute, we're focused this morning on the presence of the Holy Spirit, having room to fall in this place.
I need you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. we will pray, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Somebody, if you can you, if you mute your phone for me, if you're not Pamela, go ahead and mute your phone for me, whoever's building a house in the background. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen. Pam, if you're talking, we can't hear you. And we still can't. Let me see. Might be our fault. One second. And Pam, if you can hear, I'm not sure if maybe you got muted. You might need to hang up and call back because we still can't hear you. Amen. And while we wait for her to
okay,
do that,
yeah, I just hung up
there you
and
go.
Came back on.
Okay, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I think I somehow got muted. I just wanted to open up really quick to see if anyone who called in who didn't get an opportunity to say good morning or hello, feel free to say hello at this time.
Good morning. This is Catherine. Hi.
Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Juliet. Good morning.
Good morning,
this is Mona.
Good morning, Mona.
Can y'all hear me? This is Yvette.
Good morning, Yvette. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good morning. This is Lucille. Good morning.
Good morning, Lucille.
Good morning. This is Jocelyn from Texas.
Good morning, Jacqueline.
Hey, it's Dee Dee and Kayla. Good morning. Love you.
Hey, good morning, Dee Dee and Kayla.
Good morning. It's Dondria.
Good morning, Dondra.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. This is Pam.
Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. It's Natasha.
Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning, this is Latasha.
Good morning, Latasha.
Good morning, Victory family. God bless you all this morning.
Good morning. So at this time, I'm going to ask that everyone please place your call back on mute. And if you are answering questions or if you have comments, at that time you can remove your line off of mute. But once you finish, just place it back on mute, please. So this morning, I want to just kind of open the call up for just kind of a discussion. I didn't realize I had written so much. At the very beginning, I was kind of struggling with my iPad, and so I was, you know, having trouble with the screen and, you know, shutting on and off. But I didn't really even finish half of the things that I had written. I felt like I was kind of speaking redundantly because I didn't have my screen to even look at. But I kind of want to open it up for discussion, any comments, and I, you know, just kind of to give you an overview, I was really just kind of talking about what blocks us, what distracts us from really staying focused, and the three areas of distraction that I presented was, you know, our old nature and us focusing on the past and the things that we may have gone through in the past. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, anyone who's ever gone through counseling, oftentimes they will go through, you know, our past and, you know, what's happened in your past and, you know, how you feel about, you know, a parent or,
you know, something, a particular time in your life. And oftentimes they do that because they're trying to focus on what's blocking you, where you stop, where you got stuck. Some of us are stuck still at 10 years old. Some of us are still stuck at a particular situation that happened as teenagers. So oftentimes they'll do that. But God calls upon us to press towards the mark, to look to what lies beyond, not to focus on the past. And Paul, you know, speaks heavily on that. You know, like I said, certainly a lot of them do it as a technique to get you to move forward. And then I talked about how Satan will plant seeds in our minds, and seeds of negativity, seeds that are destructive, seeds that will cause us to, once again, not focus on God and focus on His Word, and cause us to, you know, go down a path and kind of go down this rabbit hole of discussions in our head of, you know, what really the truth is and what really the lie is that Satan is constantly telling us. And then the third distraction is just the world in general. You know, we have the internet, we have so many things now compared to what we had 10, 20 years ago that, you know, that can be distractions to us, that can keep us from really focusing on God's word and keep us from, you know, really staying before His presence. So those are things that I had discussed. And I actually kind of was motivated by this particular declaration because I was watching a sermon by a pastor, I can't remember his name, Francis Chan, I think it was. And he was talking about, he used this demonstration of a rope. And, you know, he had this rope that was probably about 20 feet long, but in the rope, there was maybe 6 inches of the rope in red. And he was like, imagine this rope being your entire life between birth and, you know, eternity. And the portion that's in red is only the portion in which you're living here on earth, you know, until you die. And, you know, are you allowing yourself to, you know, live out that what's in red? Are you looking towards the white, you know, what's to come, the future, the kingdom of heaven, and, you know, doing everything in your life based on what the kingdom of heaven has to offer? And I think oftentimes, you know, we're focused on, you know, what's happening right now in the present. And, you know, we're looking at our bank accounts, we're looking at, you know, things that are going to get us further ahead right now, but not what's going to get us further ahead in the kingdom. So now I just want to open it up for any discussion, any comments, any input, anything that you may have a question about.
Morning, Pamela.
Good morning.
It's Dee Dee.
Hey, Dee Dee.
I love you so much. Thank you for that. Like Dion said in her prayer, that's awesome. You just really gave us a lot. And this month is great because it's on focus. And for me, mindset is everything. Thinking about what I have allowed or what I had allowed other people to say who I was and not really, you know, really be who God created me to be. So I thank you for that and how the distractions are so real. We stay stuck and not believe God's word and not believe who God created to be, but believe the lies of the enemy. He's such a liar, being stuck at 10 years old, being stuck at 4 years old. I just really love the focus thing because if we're not careful, we are just walking zombies because we're stuck on what mama said, daddy said, whoever said. There were so many things said about me as a child growing up, and I've said it before, because of my hue, because of my height. I think I was born 5'8", I've told you guys before, and I was a dark girl, I was a tall girl, I was a fat girl, whatever it was. I have a gap in my teeth, which I still have, but once I realized that I am fearfully and wonderfully made and I know who I am, even Dion, she posted something yesterday which made me think about that. When you know that you know, it doesn't matter what the world says or tries to do or how the enemy tries to distract you, because you are confident. So, you know what I mean? We're going to be distracted. That's what the enemy tries to do. But we have to stop giving that defeated joker so much credit. Because he really is defeated. If we really get in the word and we're not just reading it, because so many people can quote the scriptures and they know it, but applying it, that's a big difference. So again, we can talk the talk 24/7, but take a few steps and let the world hit us hard and then really let God be God. So I just thank you so much. I thank you for sharing David with us, and I just thank you for who you are with all you've been through, sis. I love you to life. And I'm so glad that you know who you are. That's why you keep going. Because if the enemy had his way, me and you and a few other people on this line wouldn't even be here. So I love you and thank you for this popping Monday off like you did. Yes, Kayla, let me go, y'all. Kayla trying to eat cupcakes at 7 o'clock.
Thank you so much for sharing, Dee Dee. And you're absolutely right. The enemy has no power over us, for those of us who are saved and, you know, walking in the Lord. But he will try to plant seeds, and he will, you know, that's his job. I mean, you know, he wouldn't be on his job if he wasn't trying to torment us and mess with our minds and try to, you know, get in our heads, because that's the only thing he can do, is to try to distract us in our minds and try to tell us lies. And unfortunately, you know, many of us believe it. I know I did for years. I thought I was, you know, not adequate, not able to really do anything. I had a teacher tell me that, you know, I would never be able to achieve anything. I had suffered with dyslexia for years, you know, all my life, and still do. And I just learned how to manage it. But, you know, because of it, I wasn't never a good reader. And so, you know, he tried to embarrass me in front of the whole class, and, you know, then, you know, said I was only had like a third grade ability to read. And, you know, he just, you know, was just kind of making a mockery of everything, me and this other football player, African-American football player. And, you know, he just kind of like made fun of us. And, you know, that just kind of like really affected me. It's like it made me not want to do anything. It's like I dropped out of college. I, you know, got married too young, way too young, and, you know, just never thought I was gonna, you know, just thought I was gonna always be a wife, somebody's wife, and that was it. And you know, God said something different. You know, God told me, had a different plan. And it wasn't until, you know, I refused to believe those lies and continued to apply myself and, you know, allow God to use me, was I able to get unstuck. Is there anyone else?
Hi, Kamala. Good morning. It's Moni.
Good morning, Moni.
Wow. What a rich message. That was a really rich, rich, rich message. I saw like warning and caution, you know, from a biblical perspective, and it was good. For me, you know, the battle in the mind has been there since I can remember, man, maybe, I don't know, maybe 9 years old, I could identify that there was an attack on my mind in all different areas and levels. And then as I got older, I learned how to silence the voice of the enemy and silence my own insecure voice. It's very important that we say that, especially if you're someone who gets attacked in the mind. And I know a lot of spiritual warfare people will be attacked in the mind. And it's almost like we're battling in our head, like, and we don't say anything because we don't want to look schizophrenic. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying what I feel, what I experience. So it's so important that that we put on our armor and we put on the mind of, or we pray for the mind of Christ, you know, daily, and that we silence our own insecure voice, because that blend, that combination of our own voice and then the enemy trying to attack our mind could be very, very catastrophic. So the voice of the enemy is real. It's totally real. And I shut him up on the daily. I shut him up because of the impressions that I get in my head are not always good. They're not always good. And I have to shut him down, and I have to rebuke what he's trying to tell me is going to happen. And, you know, I don't know how many other people out there, you know, deal with that, but it's real. It's real. And you have to be strong. You have to, you know, bring every thought captive under the authority of the Lord. And, yes. And you just have to be really mindful, really mindful. And it's not only for me, it's for other people. Sometimes I'll see other things, and I have the power and the authority inside of me to speak death to it and use wisdom when I do that. Because I want to use wisdom. I want to know that what I'm doing and what I'm silencing and what I'm getting rid of is what the Lord has approved me to do. So you've got to be obedient to the Lord when you're being attacked in your mind and you're silencing these images and visions and your discernment's kicking in. You got to be mindful. You got to be disciplined. I look at it as a soldier. You get your orders from the Lord on everything that you're doing. You don't just say, oh, well, it's bad, I need to kill it. I'm feeling this bad feeling. You need to take everything to the Lord. Keep your focus on the Lord in that area, and stay obedient. Those are some of the things that I thought of. And you know what? The media, when you brought that up, the media really does shape our world, and it makes it more difficult for us prayer warriors to pray for our environment and the people around us, because this media is telling us how to live. It's telling us how to be, what to follow, what to make our God. So it makes our jobs harder. So I could totally relate when you said that. But you know what? I just, before I finish here, I just want to thank you, because the calm presence that you bring to the call and the wisdom that you bring in your studying and really trying to hear from the Lord from us is truly, truly very appreciated. So I just wanted to say that to you, Pamela. And you know, I love you. So thank you for your message that you gave us today.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much for your share. It's interesting because you talked about, you know, that battle and, you know, how, you know, it's like literally like a war that we have going on. And, you know, that was kind of some additional elements that I had that I did not get to, was just kind of talking about how to really demolish those strongholds and how to, you know, have, you know, how spiritual warfare, you know, we need to, you know, have that spiritual warfare within our minds and, you know, things that we need to do in order to really conquer it and silence those voices. Because it really takes a lot. I mean, like you were saying, you know, I'm constantly attacked as well. And, you know, it's kind of a daily thing where you have to silence those voices daily, that, you know, you have to not believe what the doctors are saying, or not believe the pain that's going on in your body, or not believe, you know, different things that are going on in your head. And so you really do have to silence it and make every effort to, you know, walk in the destiny that God has for you. Thank you so much for sharing, Moni. I love you. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Yes, go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, Pamela. Good morning, family. This is Pam.
Good morning.
I just wanted to thank. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can.
I'm on this headset and the cord's twisted. Wanted to make sure. Thank you so much for the declaration. And I just have to agree with what Moni said. Same thing. Your voice, I just love your voice. You're so calming, and your teaching that you bring with your declaration is just such a blessing to me. So I just want to thank you for that. And also, as we're talking about the spiritual warfare, I just wanted to share that God's doing such a great work right now, and there's such a big breakthrough in terms of what he's doing, like, and healing in terms of my life. And that battle, boy, with the enemy, I'm testifying, I'm giving glory to God this morning of what he's showing. I'm very much more aware as I go into prayer, before I go in the house, before I get out of my car. Like, this is where I am now, because I'm seeing how I've had anxiety in the past, so I can tell when I get a little anxious, that means, okay, Pam, watch about what you do. So what I'm doing now is just praying, God, go before me. And it's all of his word is like, I'm living off of it. And I'm just so thankful for him in this season of my life, showing me and growing me that I really am living off of what his word says, that, you know, quoting those scriptures and things like that. So I hope I'm not all over the place, but I just want to give glory to God. He is doing such a healing, a breakthrough. And I'm seeing the ways of the enemy, like, and how I'm like, I might leave a great church service, and then something like in the past, like a few weeks ago, might have gotten me to do like maybe react to something where I'm so thankful that God is, I'm being aware and accountable for my reactions to things that happen, because I'm realizing, yeah, the enemy's all over the place, and he is, especially, I love God, so I'm seeing how he is just everywhere. I'm kind of laughing now when I'm seeing the different things that'll happen, and I'm like, okay, that's, you know, recognizing what it is, and just growing in it. So I'm just so thankful this morning, and I'm thankful for this call. I think you're thankful for the prayer that we had this morning. It was so powerful. And that's all. Have a great day, everybody.
And thank you so much, Pam, for sharing.
Hey, Pam, before you respond, can I say this out loud? So I don't know if anybody else notices the difference, but listen. So, Pamela Mason, today your sound is more settled than I've ever heard it in the year and a half, 2 years that you've been around. Just FYI.
Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. No, for real.
That's what praise God. Praise God.
I just want to say that out loud. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was going to say is that, you know, you sound so strong. You can definitely tell that, you know, your focus is clearly on God, that you're not looking at what's happening around you, but, you know, you're really not being distracted by that, but you're staying focused on God. And, you know, like Dion said, I could definitely hear it in your voice, and, you know, you can just feel the power and presence of God, you know, just moving all through your life. And I'm just excited for you.
He's so magnificent. I'm just so grateful. So God bless everybody on this call. I mean, I love you guys. Thank you.
Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning.
This is Pretty Patrice. Thank you so much for your declaration on this morning, reminding us to be intentional on how we pray, intentional on how we serve the Lord, intentional on how we study to show ourselves approved, intentional on how we show up. Just thank you for the reminder. God bless you, and I love you.
Amen. God bless you, too. Thank you so much for sharing. Is there anyone else who'd like to share?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Catherine. I just wanted to say that it was truly a blessing this morning. I really liked the declaration. And also, to remind, I kind of think about myself when I hear messages and things like that, and the warfare of the mind, and you know, recognizing it really helps, and going into prayer for me, you know, when I realize, and, you know, the anxieties and the distractions and things like that, being aware of them, I'm starting to be more aware of a lot of the distractions when they come in, you know, and I can feel them, or I think them, or, you know, stay there. And I always tell myself, your mind is a terrible thing to waste, you know, and, you know, the negativity of things, and it's so, you know, for me, was so easy to say or think or whatever it was, you know. So the to not want that anymore, and God doing things in my life and transforming things in my life to where I'm noticing and recognizing them, you know, where I pray and ask him to remove them, and he does that. So that daily praying and asking him to help with those daily distractions of the mind, you know, it's beautiful. And I like the way you broke it down this morning. And that corporate prayer was divine. I love it. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The key is to recognize it, to become aware, you know, that the enemy has planted those seeds in your mind. Because so often, many people aren't even aware. They're not even, you know, they don't know why they're constantly angry, why they're constantly mean, why they're constantly being negative. You know, they haven't gotten to the level or the knowledge of knowing and understanding where it originated from. And so that definitely is the start of just really focusing more on God and seeking him and his direction for your life. Thank you so much for sharing.
Good morning.
Anyone else? Yes, good morning. Go ahead.
You talked about three different ways the enemy attacks us, the world and our carnal nature and the devil himself. And I just was wondering if you could touch on a couple things for me. One is speaking positive affirmations as opposed to speaking the word of God over our life. And the other is the verse in the Bible where God tells us not to love the world, neither the things in the world. And so that scripture comes up for me a lot. I'm like, okay, I understand that, like you were saying, the media and, you know, they're always pumping negative stuff into our thoughts. And, you know, that's a part of the world system. And I was like, okay, God, how I'm going to not love the world or the things in the world when we got Christians, you know, we got our children in the world. And so I could pray for my children and Christians that's in the world, but not the world. So, and I know you have to have the full context of a scripture. You just can't take one scripture and try and, you know, run with it. But I was just wondering if you could touch on that particular scripture, you know, not loving the world, not things in the world. Hello, Sister Pamela.
Sorry, I'm talking and I'm on mute. But yeah, that scripture is coming from, I think the one you're referring to is First John. There's a couple that refer to, living in the world, but not being of the world. There's that scripture. But then the one in John talks about how we should not love the world or anything of the world. And it goes on to say that anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so it, you know, kind of goes into this, it continues on to talk about how, you know, we should not be in love with the things of the world, but we need to be focused on the things of God. I'm not sure. I didn't really catch everything you were asking.
regarding what you were asking me to explain to. You mentioned the scripture, and then you mentioned something else. So what else were you referring to?
Speaking positive affirmations as opposed to speaking God's word over your life.
Oh, right. For me, I know I used to use affirmations a lot when I was teaching, because I used to be a counselor at an alternative school. And so I used affirmations a lot in working with the children, just because you can't really mix church and state, and you know, you can't really they don't really allow you to talk about God in school, and so it was kind of difficult. So the way I was able to speak positively into the children's minds, or you know, to really get into their minds, was to use these affirmations. But a lot of the affirmations were coming from scriptural references. I think what happens when we get too caught up in affirmation, and we start focusing on affirmations that make it seem like we are in control of our lives, or we are have power or authority, or we are like our own God, then that's where it becomes a problem. There's this religious kind of doctrine called the secret, and they kind of focus more on, you know, doing affirmations and speaking into your life, basically speaking, you know, how powerful you are, or, you know, that you can control your destiny. And so when you get into that type of affirmations where you're completely ignoring the power of God, that's where I think it kind of draws the line. And I think that's where we kind of cross over into letting the world get into what we know as Christians that the Word of God is saying. But there are so many scriptures, and I really would encourage you to, you know, seek scriptures. There's a book called The Bible Promise. And so in that book are going to be scriptures that deal with every element of things that you will encounter in your life, from sexual immorality to, you know, depression to, you know, just anything you can think of. It's going to have a scripture that deals with that. And so I would recommend that you pick up that book, and that book will definitely help you to allow the Word of God to speak into your life, because the scripture talks about us, you know, constantly being healed by the Word of God, and, you know, allowing the Word of God to dwell in our hearts, and to do not let it depart from thy eyes or thy sight. And so I would kind of stray away from affirmations in that way. In that regards, I think, you know, that's where the world kind of crossed over into Christianity, and it kind of creates this gray line where can create confusion even in the minds of someone who's not a strong believer. I hope that helps you.
Oh, yes. I think I will be looking for that. What's the name of that book again?
It's called The Book of Promise, or the let me see if I can find it online real quick, and I'll let you know exactly what it's called.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much.
Is there anyone else who'd like to share?
Good morning. This is Natasha.
Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning. So I said in the beginning when I got on the call that I wasn't going to say anything, but then someone, the brother, just kind of spoke to the one of the things that I had made note on about just the important, which I was reminded as you were speaking and as you quoted from, I think it was John. I'm not exactly sure what scripture the scripture about focus not being focusing on the world, but I was just reminded of the importance of Bible study and studying the Word for yourself and having an understanding and not just relying on what you might hear during Sunday worship or other things that people say, because as I think it was pointed out, you do have to take scripture in context. And I think that unfortunately sometimes people take things out of context, and at times they can use that in a way that is damaging to other people. But in any event, it reminds me that I have to get into a Bible study so that I can study and learn and understand the Word deeper for myself as I'm on this walk and journey. So that was it. And the other thing I was going to say is also coming from a perspective where I work in a area of trying to work on people loving the world that God has created for us as a home. Like, I wonder if in translation something may have gotten lost in the sense that, you know, we should love the world, the home that God created for us, but the problem we have is the systems that are here. The systems that man has created for us to live in cause so many problems for us because they're not rooted in godly ways. But our home that God has created, we definitely need more people to love it and care for all the things that God has created for us and be proper stewards of. So those are just a few things that came to mind as I was listening to your declaration. So thank you for that.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. So I came across the book, and it's called God's Promises. And it says God's Promises for Your Everyday Need. They actually have a copy of it on Amazon for like $3 and something. I think there's a hardback copy that's $14. But there's several books on Amazon that deals with the Bible Promise book. But the one that I've used in the past and that I like the most is God's Promises. And it just basically has scriptures lined out for everything you can think of in the Bible. Any not in the Bible, but any topic that you can think of that's related to things that we may deal with in the world.
Is it the author, the writer of the book?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, and there may be someone else on the call that might have a book that they use that has been helpful to them. The author of this is Jack Countryman. And it's God's Promises for Every Need. And it's a kind of a burgundy color with a gold writing.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, and the leather bound, like I said, is the $14.99, but the paper one is about $3. And I think it's in Kindle too. Yeah, if you have the unlimited Kindle, it's only $1.99 in Kindle. Is there anyone else who'd like to share before we close for this morning?
Good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
Yes, I just want to say that was an excellent answer in terms of affirmations. But you gave a verse that earlier, and if Jeff is still listening, which is a great verse too, when we talking about affirmations in terms of based on scriptures, 1 Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are good. That's our whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure. But those are things that we can think upon and affirm ourselves, and it is directly tied to the Bible. So that was a great, I just want to say that was a great answer. In terms of how, you know, I look at myself in the world. Hold on a second. That's me. Yeah, that's me. Sorry, walkie-talkie just came along.
Oh, okay.
You know, 2 Peter 2:11 talks about, when he talks about us as aliens and strangers in the world. And so I always look at, you know, and if you know anything about immigration, people who come to America will come to work or come to on business. They who are not Americans, they're foreigners, but they get what you call a visa. You know, a lot of times it's a work visa, and some work visas have a certain amount of time, but some work visas can be open-ended. And so this visa is to the foreigner who's coming to work in our country. It gives them a chance to do the business or whatever they want to do in our country. You know, the visa allows them to exist in America, even though they're not American. And so they can be in this country, but not a part of this country, but they have work to do, you know what I'm saying? And once they accomplish that work, they go back to their country. And so, you know, when I think about when Peter urges us as strangers and aliens, one of the words that they call foreigners who comes are immigrants who are not naturalized or who are not Americans, they are called aliens. And the reason why is because they're not really they were not really of this country. They're not really a part of this country. And that's how we are as people of Christ. And so this is why Peter and Paul calls us aliens. You know, we're not in this world, but we have a visa which has been given to us by God, a work visa, open-ended, to accomplish our mission. When we take Christ as our Savior, you know, okay, our citizenship has been moved from America or wherever we're from, or from this world, to heaven. And so, you know, so we're citizens of the eternal kingdom, but we're still here on earth. So we have to look at ourselves as aliens, as foreigners with an open-ended work visa to accomplish the mission that the kingdom has given us to do while we're here. And once our mission is accomplished, then like the foreigners would go back to any other country, we go back to our kingdom. And so we have to have that mindset. That's all I want to say. Great declaration. God bless.
Thank you so much. I keep forgetting to take this off mute. Thank you. You're absolutely right. We are aliens. We're not a part of this country. But the other thing that the Bible refers to us as ambassadors, and, you know, an ambassador also is like a diplomat who you know, is sent over, you know, from another country to be a representative of that foreign country. And that's what we're to be, ambassadors for Christ. We're to be representative to the world of who Christ is. You know, we're to represent, Christ, who, is the Son of God. We're children of God. And so we're supposed to represent Him in everything we do. So you're absolutely right. We are not from this land, but we're not of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. Thank you so much for sharing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry, this is Pam again. I'm so glad to know that I can give glory to God and make the enemy mad. And so I'm speaking more about just God is providing such a breakthrough. And on this same conversation, just my comings and goings, God's been the enemy. Another thing is, we are ambassadors. What I'm just walking in right now is, I've been having like a lot of, everything's been like, you know, you guys know I work out all the time. I've been a member at this gym since 1996. And like, for the past couple of months, they've been trying to mess, you know, my account. It's so funny, you know, and they have, it's like, there's been problems for me getting in. And what I'm learning is this is the spiritual warfare that I'm learning right now. This past week is that the enemy really has been trying to steal my joy and just stop me from going. So, you know, with the other things I have going on, you know, working out is like my stress relief. And then that was stopped, right? And so as I'm praying and pushing forward and moving, because I know it's not any of my doing, and just praying before, even before I go in the gym, Lord Jesus, just before, you know, And then when I get into the gym, like I was, when I finally got in, because it's like a, something going on right now. But again, it's not of my doing. And so when I got in there, I'm realizing now why the enemy didn't want me to get in there. Because, you know, now I'm like, okay, Lord, it's time for us to save some souls. You clearly are calling me, not in my power, but I'm just seeing myself in a different way. He's calling me to do this. And because I'm able now, thank you to God, to be aware of the enemy's tactics, sometimes it's just because I might not go, you know, because there's been times I'm just like, well, I'm not going to go. But I've just been praying. I'm like, okay, I need to push forward. I need to, and God is getting me through. And I'm saying, okay, that's why the enemy didn't want me to get in here. I see all these people. I'm going to pray for all these souls, Lord. You know who, you know, you want to call. And like so much is just being taught to me, territory, that term territory. I used to hear that in the Bible a lot. I never knew what it meant until now. Territory. I'm praying over territories, like meaning like if I'm like in a neighborhood, I can pray over that neighborhood. So I don't know. God is just doing so much power, and I'm giving all glory to Jesus Christ, because another thing I'm learning in my walk right now is that is what the enemy don't like that. And I need to give more glory to God, because God is doing all of this in me. So I just thank God so much for what he's doing in my life. He's so powerful. And, That's all. I'm just so thankful. And glory to God. Love you guys.
Love you too. Wow. You said a mouthful. And, you know, I just definitely believe that, you know, God is just really putting in you that spirit to wage warfare, you know, against the enemy, and to just be that intercessor. And so I just thank you for being obedient. And I thank you for, you know, just using wisdom and really hearing the voice of God as he speaks to you, and not allowing the distractions of the enemy to, you know, take you off course. Like I said, we're at the top of the hour. If there's no one else, I'm going to go ahead and close us out in prayer. Father God, we just come to you this morning, God, just thanking you for your power, for your grace, God, for your love, God, for your promises, God, for your word, God, for just putting in us who we are in you, God, God, for opening our eyes, God, to who you are, God. I thank you, God, for making us aware of the distractions of the enemy, and God, keeping us aware of the seeds that he will try to sow within our minds, God, so that we can stop it, that we can cut it off at the root, God. But I thank you, God, for the callers that have called in this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that you would bless their day, God, that you would open their eyes, God, to see your word more clearly, God, and that you would help them to not be distracted by anything that the enemy tries to put before them today, God. God, we just give you all the praise and the glory, God. We thank you this morning, God. Father, bless each one on this call right now in the name of Jesus, God. Father, we commit it all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. I love you all to life, and have a wonderful morning. Is there a marriage matters tonight? Amen.
Yes, there is.
Okay, great, great, great.
6 o'clock.
Is going to be 6 o'clock. Here, but he is not
yeah, I'm sorry. You all
no,
have
I'm saying marriage matters at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7.
All right, great, great. Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day, everyone.
Have a blessed day, everyone.
Wonderful day.